from an undisclosable location for reasons of security and therefore insecurity. Big time. Cometh the hour, cometh the mothership, that is, Coast to Coast AM. Tonight for the first hour, Andy Lightbody, military and technology analyst. We'll talk about the zombie gun. Yes, a zombie gun being developed by who else? The Russians. Also the Korean missile launch and other angst-inducing topics, which I believe you will like. Then, Henrik Palmgren, creator of RedIceCreations.com, a news website. He's based in Gothenburg, Sweden. We'll discuss collectivism versus individualism and many, many other topics. I think that you will like them all. So, get yourself a little glass. Proper cup of tea, whatever suits you. And prepare to be... Might be a combination of... being bedazzled by brilliance and baffled by, well, bovine-based effluvia. In the news, 4 feet, not 4 inches, 4 feet of hail in Texas, tornadoes in Kansas, record rain in California, earthquakes rampant, remain calm, all is well. And as far as the news is concerned, well, there's lots of it. There really is, and it's absolutely ridiculous. I'm serious about this. We have, U.S. Secret Service agents recalled from Colombia for messing around with prostitutes. Brings to mind that old Steely Dan song, the Cuervo Gold, the fine Colombian, although makes tonight a wonderful thing unless you get busted, and they did. Gibson guitar case drags on. No sign of criminal charges. 7 months ago, federal agents with guns drawn. You don't want anybody to grab a lethal guitar. They raided the Gibson guitar factories in Nashville and Memphis. $500,000 worth of Indian rosewood and ebony was seized under the premise that it had been imported illegally. The feds also took a number of guitars and computer hard drives. TSA agents busted for what? Stealing iPads out of people's luggage. Secret Service had a sex bus, too. I mean, is this just nauseating or what? China's internet outage. Speculation over a kill switch. We have one of those, don't we? It's unbelievable, people. I could go on and on and on. And maybe I will now. I want to mention something to you. And that would be, now, last Saturday night, we had a very nice conversation with Dr. George Pratt and his code to joy. But on the night of March 31st and into the morning of April 1st, we had John Lear. And this generated much, much speculation, much inquisitiveness, many, many hundreds and literally thousands of emails going, now, was that an April Fool's prank? In the interest, as ship's captain George Norrie says, of full disclosure, I'm going to disclose to you exactly what was up with that interview, and it is this. Not unlike yourself, I'm not prepared to just blindly accept anything that I hear. Someone presents themselves with the bona fides that Mr. Lear has. I'm inclined to listen. I did not contrive a prank. Nor did I say it was an April Fool's Day prank. I just mentioned that it was, in fact, April Fool's Day. Whether it's providential, coincidental, or just plain appropriate, it happened to also be true. It was April Fool's Day. So let me just say this. This is what Sir Winston Churchill said. In wartime, truth is so precious that she should also be attended by a bodyguard of lies. A lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants on. Some of the things that Mr. Lear discussed seemed really, really outrageous, even to me, in the depths and heights of my occasional gullibility. But I will tell you this. After intensive research, I can tell you that many of the things that he said are absolutely bang and spot on. From holographic images to deep submarine bases and many, many other things, going down that rabbit hole to find out, all right, just how much of this is on the level, led me to other things that are incredibly difficult to believe. 10,000 mile an hour subterranean trains, vast underground cities, vast underground bases. There is even a question now as to where UFOs may interfere with normal general aviation and commercial aviation traffic. I do believe that there is something to this 2012 thing because there's too much going on at the same time. A great confluence of different interests, different initiatives. And the fact is, going back to Winston Churchill, we are at war. In many ways, we are at war with ourselves. The good news is this. We are, for the moment, free. We are alert. We will win. You are doing it. And for a final little news thing, I just have a question. With all of this surveillance, our smartphones are watching us and tracking us. The photographic program that can be put on your phone will date and record to the authorities when and where the picture was taken. Drones in the skies. Smart street lamps that record conversations, internet privacy, please, there isn't any. Every keystroke, every text, every phone call, every fax, all monitored. And one more time, why is that border open? George Soros has pledged $10 million to defeat Sheriff Joe Arpaio for re-election. He and LaRosa are teaming up to see if they can just get him out of there. They don't like his investigations of our current president, and they do not like his trumping federal law in enforcing immigration laws. Of course, they leave out the part that there's a presumption that the federal government will enforce those laws. But I digress. In any case, as I said, remain calm, all is well. But in the meantime, cinch down and saddle up. The Caravan to Midnight leaves in 2 minutes on Coast to Coast AM. Andy Lightbody joins us on the bridge of the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. Andy, how are you?
Good evening, John. Nice to be with you.
Let me just tell the folks a little bit about you. You were the founding editor for International Combat Arms Magazine, field editor for Armed Forces Journal, military correspondent for CBS, Fox, and ABC Radio, and occasionally gets beat up a little bit on Google, and then those people just seem to go away. So you're one of those connected guys, and you seem to have a lot of pull out there, even though people are a little suspicious of the mainstream media, but I suspect you're sort of suspicious of them as well. So I guess it balances out.
Well, it's kind of like, some of our founding fathers used to say, those that don't read anything are uneducated. Those that read the newspaper are indoctrinated. So, kind of like you, John, I enjoy going outside of the mainstream, and I enjoy being able to call the shots as they are and break stories accordingly and, have the opportunity to be with you tonight.
Well, it's been said that every man has the right to say what's on his mind, and every other man has the right to knock him down for it. So here we are, hardened, hardened on the outside, hardened on the inside. What's getting your attention these days as far as, like, this? I'm hearing about the zombie gun. I read about that a couple of weeks ago. And then, of course, there was this failed missile attempt with the North Koreans. They're always messing around over there, trying to keep everybody jacked up over one thing or another.
Well, it's kind of one of those things that the Russians continue to kind of try to pull the rabbit out of the hat. And they announced, and actually it was a promise that was made by the defense minister back to Mr. Putin, back at his reelection time that they were going to be able to develop a weapon that was going to be able to use what they call this psychokinetic or psychotronic microwaves and absolutely be able to scramble everybody, you know, that was either an internal enemy to the state or actually be able to use it outside. And Mr. Putin has actually gone on record saying that, you know, it's equivalent to being able to use a nuclear weapon, but it's not going to have the, you know, political ramifications of being able to use a big bomb blast.
So they'll make a great big one and make it space-based and just aim it at all of us, or what?
You know, well, you know, this is what a lot of us are thinking about. Historically, John, if you look at these psychotronic guns, you know, they use microwaves. What they do is they're using wave energy weapons, genetic weapons, high energy, etc. It actually dates back to World War II, when both the Japanese and Adolf Hitler tried to develop these kind of weapons to use against either their people or dissidents and or outside enemies. Those days, they didn't have the actual energy power to be able to put forth this kind of a thing, although they did use it, and I'm sure they killed a lot of innocent people, you know, that were taken prisoner under both regimes. The U.S. actually even jumped in on the bandwagon back in the 1950s and tried to do the same kind of thing in terms of sound wave weapons. What the Russians seem to have been able to develop and come up with is a microwave weapon that has a much longer range than anything that we've seen at this point in terms of, we've got a weapon right now that you could put on the back end of a truck. You could aim it at people that were, let's say, trying to attack the White House or a military base or Fort Knox. Turn it on, and with the sound waves, the microwave type of stuff, the idea is it's going to be able to knock them down. It's going to be so discomfortable that they're going to get scrambled up and fall down. Well, what the Russians are saying is, aha, we've taken it a step further. We've been able to take it now and actually be able to scramble your insides to the point that we'll kill you, and or, kind of interestingly enough, John, they've even said, we can reprogram you to become somebody else by reprogramming some of your thoughts.
You know, they've been fooling around with this for a long time. You remember when they were bombarding the American embassy in Moscow with all kinds of microwave radiation? It was in its crude form then. It was causing leukemia and problems like that. But they've been working on this for a while.
This is certainly nothing new with them. And it's something now that they seem to have taken it a step further. You know, that with this electric wave type thing, you know, our side of the pond, so to speak, is now looking at this, and, you know, the DARPA people, you know, which is looking at, you know, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, is going, you know, as they've got this, this is something we really need to kind of be concerned about.
Well, I suppose for every measure, there's a countermeasure. So I certainly hope they have something up their sleeves on our side. Of course, it's getting harder and harder to determine which is our side and which is their side, since we financed half of what they've done, starting with the Bolshevik Revolution. But no point in going there, right?
You know, going back, I mean, they have always been somewhat on the cutting edge of being able to come up with the new technologies, you know, in terms of everything from armor, anti-armor, missiles, anti-missiles, things like this, that this is something that I don't think anybody, you know, although it sounds, you know, extremely futuristic and it almost sounds ha-ha when you say, oh, I could turn you into a zombie, is something that, you know, should be readily dismissed. You know, to me, it's technology that has been around for a while. It's technology that is now continuing to be developed, you know, and heightened and with new, you know, physics and everything that continues to evolve and develop. I don't see it as a handheld gun anytime soon. But I think, as you said at the start of the introduction, this is certainly something that could be mounted on a truck. It could be mounted on a helicopter. It could be mounted on a low-flying aircraft, stationary, you know, position, what have you, that if people were able to get into it, sure, you turn it up and you knock them down. Turn it up really high, you're going to scramble their brains, you're going to fry their insides, and what is this going to do to the development of weapons, you know, here in the 21st century?
Well, I don't know. I mean, what's next? They already have all kinds of stuff we don't even know about. I mean, they practically, it's almost like a man in a suit or a woman in a suit. I don't know. I'm still slightly chauvinistic. I know that women can be very fierce warriors, and there are some. And ask anybody that flew against them in World War II, it's still around. They flew those planes like every bit as good as the men, and were quite deadly with it. But it's almost as though you have this hard shell, and you're just sort of the gooey center inside the you're the creamy center in the Oreo cookie, and the cookie part is like this hardened, you know, amplified thing that, you know, it's just the weapons built into the suit, and it gives you the power of 20 people. Those man amplifiers, they called them back in the early 60s.
It was kind of funny when I got the first nod on this and the inside information on it. You know, one of my sources at the Pentagon said, you know, Andy, you know, we're really concerned about this. DARPA, you know, NSA, everybody, CIA, everybody is looking at this to say, how real is this? But the inside joke at the Pentagon kind of was, well, could we develop one of these things for the telephone so that we could shoot it back at a telemarketer?
No, that sounds like a good idea, although that's mean, you know. That's just mean. They're just trying to make a few bucks. And I'll tell you the truth. It seems to me like the responses that those people get, they probably have to get a little therapy from time to time just to, you know, love them back into the race of mankind so that they can function. I mean, how many times can you be told to do this and that to yourself before you begin to take them seriously? What gets your attention?
The bottom line on this, you know, is that this was something that the defense minister promised to Mr. Putin, you know, upon re-election. And now that, of course, he's in and firmly seated, you know, whether legitimately or not, and of course, emphasis on the not side of it, is that they're going forth with this, that it's now something that they've announced. They won't give any details, you know, but they never give any details until they've got something that's operational and field ready. And yeah, I really think, as much as anything, you know, here at on our side, you know, in the U.S. of A., this is a weapon system that we probably have not looked at. We probably haven't spent as much time in development. And it's now a question of, you know, are they ahead? Is this something that we could see sold to, how should I say, countries that are not our friends, not our allies, and something that we might be faced with on the battlefield in the future, that regardless of what we're armed with in terms of conventional munitions and guns or whatever.
Easy, man. Didn't mean to choke you up here.
Excuse me. You know, we could actually see that it could shoot down an aircraft, a helicopter, could be used against, you know, any sort of somebody that we were trying to, you know, put a force against. How would you defend yourself against that? Simply everybody at this point is shaking their head. You know, even my contacts are going, I don't know how we would defend ourselves against it.
You know, when I started the show, I was talking about underground this and underground that, which, of course, is the best place to hide anything other than in plain sight, disguised as something else, something innocuous. And if you don't have any intel on this, or you have some but you don't want to share it, that's okay. Just say, can't go there, and that we're good. And we've only got you know, like 1 minute to go before we got to take a little break here. But how real is this this underground stuff? Matter of fact, let's talk about the underground stuff when we come back from the break, and let's talk about this what is reported as a failed North Korean missile launch, and what we were prepared to do about it if we didn't already do something about it, if we had to. I'm talking Patriot missile here. We'll continue with Andy Lightbody on Coast to Coast AM. Stand by. Well, yes, what goes up must come down, and it did. And there seems to be quite a bit of speculation that we brought the missile down, because we're just not going to have that. And someone has mentioned that this new zombie gun might make for some really interesting and really, really high-dollar funding. Well, if they've got a zombie gun, don't we need a zombie gun too? Yeah. We'll continue with Andy Lightbody in just a minute. 2 minutes on Coast to Coast AM. Andy, this may not be your thing, but what about this underground base stuff? Now, I know there are underground bases there, but are they, to your knowledge, or do you have any intel on the vastness of that complex, or not really?
Well, most of what I know and what people have told me, and of course, say, I'll tell you, but then I'll deny I ever said it, is, yes, of course, there's a tremendous amount of underground stuff. In fact, probably the biggest is the undersea stuff, where you can tuck away submarines, you can have, you know, complete facilities that are undetectable by a satellite because of the fact that they're going to look down and what are they going to see? They're going to see water, they're going to see an island, they're going to see a coastline, things like this that the United States, of course, has invested a tremendous amount of money in terms of undersea facilities, and will continue to do so, simply because they're the hardest things in the world to detect. I mean, if you want to roll it over to what we're going to talk about next into actually with North Korea, we've got satellites that are flying over top of them all the time. We can see every time they move a shovel or a bulldozer full of dirt. And if they're planning another nuclear test, guess what? Everybody from the military to many of the civilian satellite companies that are out there can see it. You can't see what's under the water in spite of the fact that you can look down and you say, well, gee, it's a nice day out there on the lagoon. It's a nice day out on the ocean. But what's going on underneath? A lot of top secret stuff, John.
Understood and appreciated, and I'm sure it's several decades ahead of what we think is current technology for sure. I mean, by the time we hear about it, it's pretty much old news.
Well, it's just like the development of some of the stealth stuff. It was under development going back to the 1960s and the 70s, and the F-117A, you know, the stealth fighter, the Nighthawk, wasn't really unveiled until really the 1980s. When the Lockheed people got together with the Air Force and said, we're doing so many flights out of Area 51, everybody is saying these are UFOs. Well, they weren't UFOs. What they were was the stealth fighter. And actually, I was privileged to be with the Fox News people at that point when they first deployed the stealth fighter to Gulf War One back in the 1991, and we got the opportunity to fly over Area 51, pick up those stealth fighters, and we were flying in KC-135 tankers to be able to refuel them all the way across. And it was kind of interesting to look down and see, Jiminy, what is that sitting on the runway? A lot of stuff I couldn't identify.
Understood. So what happened with that missile that North Korea just launched? Did we shoot it down, or did it just blow itself up? And I understand there were some Iranian technicians standing around when that happened, too. That's just kind of on the down low.
See, that's the breaking story here for you and your listeners tonight, is that North Korea thought that they were the top dogs, you know, in terms of being able to put together a three-stage, what they called a ballistic rocket. so that they could put this thing up into the satellite, up into space. Well, the difference between a missile and a rocket is a missile carries a warhead. A rocket is something that is much more benign in being able to put it up into space. This whole thing was a cover-up for them to be able to test their rocket technology and missile technology in terms of developing a long-range intercontinental ballistic missile. My sources and everybody that was there on the ground was looking and going, wait a minute, these are not Koreans. They're Iranians. They had a full scientific and technology group there on the ground that was looking at to see from Iran if their technology might even be better than what the Iranians were developing. Now, the Iranians at this point, of course, are grabbing the headlines because they're in the process of, quote, under peaceful purposes only, we're going to develop nuclear power. Well, we all know that's a bunch of, as you said, bovine. And what they were looking at is collaborating with North Korea in terms of maybe we can help you with the rocket technology if you can help us with some of the nuclear technology. North Korea's already got it. The Iranians don't yet. But the Iranians at this point have a much better rocket, at least a two-stage rocket system, than what North Korea has. And right now, that's the headline that absolutely nobody is talking about, nobody is reporting. What do you do if you put these two rogue nations together, where you've got North Korea, who already has nuclear weapons, and probably within the next, I would say, 3 months or less, we'll probably do another underground nuclear test. Then you put them with the Iranians, who need the boost on the nuclear technology, but they've already got the rocket technology. Is not the whole world, as we know it, coming to be at more and a greater risk than anything we've known in recent times?
Indeed. Let me ask you something, Andy. Going back to Oppenheimer and all that stuff that was going on in the 40s, I mean, how hard can it be to, I mean, if they really wanted a bomb that much, if the Iranians really wanted a bomb, wouldn't they have it already? Because, again, Oppenheimer and those guys put it together, and the art was in a much cruder state 70 years ago than it is today. So, I mean, what's the holdup? What's the problem? I mean, are they just trying to make it the greatest, biggest, bestest bomb? Or, I mean, wouldn't just a, you know, just a Hiroshima or Nagasaki-sized bomb do for their purposes? I mean, what's the holdup?
John, excellent question. Excellent. The problem is that, indeed, Oppenheimer and his crew, you know, out there in the Los Alamos area were indeed a group of geniuses. I mean, to be able to develop this thing, beat the Nazis before anybody else could get it and develop it. The technology is indeed so sophisticated. The main concern that the U.S. has right now with a lot of these rogue nations is that they're not going to be able to develop a real boom bomb. You know, the Hiroshima, the Nagasaki, hydrogen, you know, the super fission bombs, things like that, is that they're going to be able to develop the dirty bomb, which is just almost as devastating in the long run as what we dropped back in World War II. But the technology is indeed so sophisticated in being able to distill the raw uranium, the raw plutonium, down into something that is bomb-grade material, and then being able to make the trigger mechanism. This just seems to be the big holdup. And as you said, all these years later, thank goodness, as many of us that have joined as nations, you know, into the nuclear club, thank God, there hasn't been even more.
You know, it's just really weird. I remember a long time ago, longer than I want to admit ago, I'm seeing a diagram. Here's how you make an A-bomb, pal. You know, get your little sphere of stuff, Get a little wedge of this, put it in the artillery barrel, pack a little TNT in the back, and let it off. No problem. It just seems like if they were hell bent to do it, it seems to me they would have already done it. Go ahead,
John. I was going to say, here's the other problem that both of the two nations that we're talking about, North Korea and Iran, have the problem, and that is the delivery system.
Okay.
Both of them seem to be fumbling with the missile technology in terms of being able to put it on an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile. But the concern is that North Korea, being such a rogue and has sold everything that they've ever developed to everybody, could put it in a container. And a container could come into the port of Los Angeles, San Pedro, Long Beach, and be detonated. Keep in mind, back in World War II, we dropped them from a B-29, you know, Enola Gay and the boxcar with the two delivery systems. We didn't have the missile technology back then. This seems to be still what many of them are fumbling with.
It's interesting. It's like, as much as the Russians are like, well, an attack on Iran, we would consider to be an attack on our sovereignty, but I don't think the Russians want them to have it either. It just seems like there's a whole...
I hope not. I mean, you talk about a bunch of loose cannons over there, you know, because if Iran indeed gets the nuclear weapon, you're going to see every state over in that area, from, you know, Qatar to Oman, Saudi Arabia, all of them are going to be looking exactly at what the problem is and going, wait a minute, are we going to let them do this if we don't have it as well?
Right. Well, that plutonium-239, that goes back to 1945. So again, I don't understand what's holding them back. I mean, I just sense some sort of, you know, man, I just sense that this is, none of this is what it seems at all. I can't imagine that these guys can, even if they had to like fly it over there in a little drone or something. I mean, how big does it have to be to cause a problem? But the other thing is, with nuclear weapons, as we all know, it's one thing if you have a nuclear device. But if you launch that thing, now what are you going to do? You better have two. You know what I mean?
You better have your entire population underground, because you know that the United States and everybody else is going to talk, you know, about retaliation. And this is really the concern right now, is that Korea is being allowed to just kind of rub our nose in dog poo-poo.
Oh, dear.
Because we promised them that we would give them food, we would give them oil, if they ceased both the nuclear development and the missile technology, or i.e., as they call it, rocket technology development. They didn't. They did it, went ahead with it. I've got sources that are saying right now, Andy, our biggest concern is they're just not going to test another underground, you know, typical uranium-type bomb. They're going to use a highly enriched uranium versus what they have in the past, which has been plutonium, which is a much smaller, lower yield. And you've got the Iranians over there sitting there going, you know what? Maybe we could develop these big blast bombs too. It's kind of one of these things that everybody is concerned that North Korea is going to go off the chart. North Korea is going to team up with Iran. The two of them are going to share technology because of the fact that the Koreans can make the bomb. They already have. They test it. And we've told them, you can't do that. You can't do that. But we've gone ahead and let them do it anyway. And if their missile had, or their rocket had not gone the way it had, sources are telling me we had a lot of people sitting out in the ocean on U.S. Navy Aegis cruisers, ready to push a button if need be, as well as Tokyo, South Korea. They also had the Patriot missile batteries that were the same thing, that if this thing went off course 1 degree, they were going to shoot it down. Well, guess what? The Koreans just demonstrated they don't yet have the rocket technology, John. But do you have anything to do?
At least the Chinese
are already working on it.
Yeah, they may be a client state of China, but I don't think China's crazy enough to give them very much help. But, you know, and as I go along week to week, it seems like an eternity from show to show, and yet the days fly by. It's really strange. The days go by quickly between shows, and yet it seems like such a long time between Saturday nights. And I'm beginning to wonder what questions should not be asked and, you know, just broadcast out all over the place. But just between ourselves and a few million of our closest friends, I'm thinking if push comes to shove, there's going to be an accident, which would result in some sort of a detonation over there in ancient Persia, now known as Iran. And I'm wondering if it's like, well, what if somebody just decided, you know what, let's just set them back a ways. Let's just arrange a little problem, a little technical problem that results in a nuclear detonation over there at one of these plants where they're developing this thing. What do you suspect the reaction to that would be? Would the whole world go on high alert at that point, or would it be like, oh, well, they screwed up. They were trying to make a bomb, and it went off in their faces. You know what I mean? Or do you even want to touch this?
We've already tried it. And, of course, we will never take credit for it. We will never take the blame for it. But we tried to plant an internal computer bug into the Iranian missile systems and the nuclear systems. And it did set them back. But it only set them back about 6 months. And they were, of course, you know, able to find it, undo it, the same way like with our high technology on our computer systems. If you get a worm, if you get a bug, if you get, you know, a Trojan or something in there, sure, it's going to hurt you, but all it did was ding them. And many are saying right now that realistically, they've got so many plants, they've got so much stuff going on, you know, they're continuing to add centrifuges, they're continuing to refine this stuff in spread out areas, that even the Israelis look at this and say, in terms of an attack, where do you start? Where
right.
do you start?
Mm-hmm.
That's the bad thing.
Yeah, and the worst part is, where do you stop?
Amen, brother.
Well, anything else get your attention in the last remaining minute or two, or maybe three that we have here? Anything else on the scope there that looks ugly and threatening, might scare everybody to death here in the middle of the night?
Well, now that you brought me on and I seem to be the good news guy, right? I mean, you know, look at the Mayan calendar for December 21st or something like that. No, sir, I don't really have much other than to say that, you know, other than, you know, times like this, there really has not been times like this. You know, we're looking at rogue nations that are sitting on both sides of us, you know, that have really, in many ways, one goal in mind, and that is bring down the United States as either we know it today, or in many ways as we used to know it. And you're looking at an administration that, like even with the North Korean problem right now, if they allowed the technicians to be there, if this rocket had been launched, we didn't seem to have the cojones to be able to push the button on an Aegis cruiser and be able to shoot it down. It was going to go up into launch, and the Iranians were sitting over there on the other side going, you know what? The U.S. is not going to do anything to us if they allow them to do that, because North Korea has continued to violate treaty after treaty after treaty. Scary times, John. Good thing you've got a show like yours.
Well, it's a good thing we have guests like you on in the audience that we have, because they are unsurpassed for being dialed in and they pay attention. And I'll tell you, if they catch you doing something wrong, they'll let you know about it real quick. If they catch an inaccuracy, they're going to tell you about it. They're going to tell the whole world about it because of that bloody internet. Sometimes I wish I had a kill switch on the thing myself. You have a book out, your latest book, The Terrorism Survival Guide, 201 Travel Tips on How Not to Become a Victim. And where can everybody get that?
It's real easy. I mean, if they'd like to order a copy, it's an e-book at this point. And all they have to go is to travelsafetytips.com, information about how to order it. And it should be fine, you know, provide a lot of good information for anybody that's an international traveler. Because, again, it's not a question of if the terrorists are going to attack again to the United States.
They're going to do it.
Somebody out. It's a question of just when.
Come back soon, Andy. Andy Lightbody. TravelSafetyTips.net is what I see. Coast will return with Hendrik Palmgren.